Laudator Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
Today, Saturday, April 10th, is the seventh day in the octave of Easter. And these are today's headlines. Pope Francis has condemned renewed violence in Colombia and expressed his closeness to the people there. More than 85,000 people have disappeared in Mexico's ongoing drug war, according to new figures released by the government. And on the anniversary of the Good Friday Agreement, unrest in Northern Ireland is a cause of growing concern. In the Vatican, I'm Christopher Wells. Colombia is currently experiencing the worst violence since the 2016 peace accord between the government and the FARC guerrilla group ended 5 decades of civil war. Vatican Secretary of State Cardinal Pietro Parolin has sent a message on the Pope's behalf to the country's bishops, expressing concern over escalating violence in southern Colombia. Robin Gomes has more.
Pope Francis condemns the episodes of violence and expresses his closeness to the people who live in the midst of so much suffering in the southwestern Pacific region of Colombia. This is what the Vatican Secretary of State, Cardinal Pietro Parolin, wrote in a telegram addressed to the president of the Colombian Bishops' Conference, Archbishop Oscar Urbino Ortega of Villa Vicencio. The message also recalls the commitment of bishops, priests, religious, and the laity in the incessant search to build bonds of peace in the entire region. Colombia is currently experiencing the worst violence the country has seen since the 2016 peace accord between Bogota and the Revolutionary Armed Forces of Colombia, or FARC group, ended a half-century civil war. Some guerrilla fighters refused to join that peace process and have continued their struggle while also mixing with drug traffickers in lawless areas of Colombia. Dissident FARC rebels, leftist guerrillas, drug trafficking groups, and right-wing paramilitaries are all battling for control of the lucrative cocaine and illegal mining markets. Recently, the southern part of the country has also seen a flare-up in violence. On March the 26th, dozens of people were injured in Corinto in the southwestern department of Cauca. A car bomb exploded in front of the town hall in one of the symbolic places of the indigenous community in Colombia. Corinto, like the neighboring municipality of Toribio, has been historically led by the indigenous people. In Toribio, Father Alvaro Ulque, the first indigenous priest in Colombia, was killed in 1984. The missionaries of Consolata continued his work. A recent report by the Emmanuel Peace Table and other organizations of Colombia documents the violence suffered for decades by the ecclesial organizations that fought alongside the poorest groups. I am Robin Gomes.
Also from Latin America, in Mexico, the grim and growing toll of disappeared persons in the nation's 15-year ongoing drug war has reached over 85,000 victims, according to government figures. James Blears reports about a devastating war crime.
Billboards on street corners, stretching along the winding passageways of the metro system or clinging to telegraph poles, show the fading photos of thousands of faces, mostly young, of the gone but never forgotten. In them lies the imprinted forlorn hope that they might somehow and someday miraculously reappear, but in reality this happens once in a blue moon. The Mexican government report just issued portrays a bleak picture contrasted against the backdrop of 250,000 slain in the deadly cat and rat war between the Mexican government and its armed forces plus police, pitted against powerful, ruthless, and ultra-violent drug cartels. Their gunmen, known as sicarios, use murder, which remains largely uninvestigated, as a terror tool intimidation tactic of repression. Deputy Secretary of Human Rights Alejandro Encinas confirms the statistic as 85,006. He says that corpses are mostly unearthed in shallow, clandestine dumping grounds in the states of Sinaloa, Sonora, Jalisco, Colima, and Guanajuato, which bear the brunt of the never-ending cycle of violence. Families desperate for closure invariably do most of the digging themselves, and then it's up to forensic scientists to confirm their worst fears via remnants of clothing, but more often dental records of the skeletal remains. But this is literally scratching the surface. Many families from whom they vanished off the face of the earth are too terrified to report them missing. The cartels know full well where the families live, work, and gather, so they can, and they do, come back to kill again in retribution unimpeded, in broad daylight, or in the depth of the darkest nights. For Vatican Radio, James Blues reporting.
Returning to news from the Vatican, Pope Francis has offered his heartfelt condolences on the death of Prince Philip. In a telegram addressed to Queen Elizabeth on behalf of the Holy Father, Cardinal Secretary of State Pietro Parolin writes that, "Saddened to learn of the death of your husband, Prince Philip, Duke of Edinburgh, His Holiness Pope Francis offers heartfelt condolences to your Majesty and the members of the royal family." The telegram continues, "Recalling Prince Philip's devotion to his marriage and family, his distinguished record of public service, and his commitment to the education and advancement of future generations, His Holiness commends him to the merciful love of Christ our Redeemer." The message concludes, "Upon you and upon all who grieve his loss, in the sure hope of the resurrection, the Holy Father invokes the Lord's blessings of consolation and peace." Meanwhile, tributes are continuing to pour in from around the world for the death of Prince Philip, who passed away on Friday at the age of 99. Among those conveying their condolences is the Archbishop of Westminster, Cardinal Vincent Nichols. Speaking with Lydia O'Kane, the Cardinal says the Duke of Edinburgh leaves behind a legacy of lifelong duty and steadfast loyalty.
The Duke of Edinburgh has led a most remarkable life over these nearly 100 years. And as people reminisce and tell their memories, those memories go back to wartime contributions right down to most recent things, and are full of sparkle and full of his vibrant personality and ability to express things, sometimes quite bluntly and pointedly. But there is a great outpouring of gratitude to the Duke of Edinburgh for his loyalty, for his cheerful sense of duty, and for the stability that he and Her Majesty the Queen have given to this country for so many years now.
I think one of the words that really is sticking out when we hear about Prince Philip's life is that of service, a lifetime of service that he's given to both Queen and country.
That is correct. And many people are saying, of course, he knew that this would be the path he would have to take when he married Elizabeth. He knew that she was going to be Queen, and he knew therefore that he was always going to be in a supportive role in second place. And even though he had many, many contributions that he made himself in different spheres, his primary duty, as Her Majesty said when they celebrated their Diamond Jubilee, was to be her constant support and friend and stalwart. And that's what we thank God for his life and for what he gave to us all, and why we pray today very, very much for the royal family, and, of course, for Prince Philip, for the repose of his soul.
That was Cardinal Vincent Nichols, the Archbishop of Westminster, speaking with Vatican Radio's Lydia O'Kane. Tensions in Northern Ireland remained high on Saturday, the 23rd anniversary of the Good Friday Peace Agreement. There was another night of unrest on Friday in neighboring loyalist and nationalist areas of North Belfast. Missiles were hurled in the loyalist Tigers Bay area, and petrol bombs were thrown at police in the nationalist New Lodge area of the city. The Bishop of Derry, Donald McEwen, told Lydia O'Kane that civic and church leaders need to be looking for ways to help communities build a better future for themselves.
My main response, I suppose, is sadness for those areas in which the troubles are taking place, because it's always the poorer areas who suffer when something goes wrong in their communities. And perhaps when stronger people are prepared to take advantage of those, it's the areas that most need to be thriving and feel confidence in themselves that very often end up being those who cause most damage to themselves. And very often there are others who are pulling the strings, who are not getting their hands dirty. So my first feeling really is compassion for those communities and asking the question, how can we as civic leaders and as church leaders help those communities to get up on their feet and be able to deal with the problems that they face in a way that enables their young people to look forward to the future rather than just be dragged back to the past.
How best is it that they come together and try and ease these tensions and sort things out?
Well, I think the Good Friday Agreement from almost exactly 23 years ago in April 1998 was based on there being three strands of relationships that were essential for the future of Northern Ireland. One was the internal strand, the local parties working together. One was the north-south strand, in other words, the role of the Irish government that's part of the Good Friday Agreement. And the other one is the east-west strand between the British and the Irish government. So I think we've been placing so much emphasis on just the first of those strands, getting the local politicians to work together. And very often their squabbling in Parliament, in Stormont, has given bad example to others on the ground. In other words, if they can throw insults at one another in Parliament, why on earth shouldn't we do the same on the ground? So yes, there's pressure on people in Stormont to behave well and to model good relationships and decent conversations. And I think the job of church is to call out the politicians and what sometimes is bad example from them.
That was Bishop Donald McEwen speaking with Lydia O'Kane. Finally, Germany's Christian churches and ecclesial communities are gearing up for their annual Week for Life from the 17th through the 24th of April, which will focus on the importance of palliative care and pastoral support for those who are near death. Devin Watkins tells us more.
Christian churches in Germany will focus their annual Ecumenical Week for Life on people who are dying or terminally ill. Entitled Living in Death, the week will be celebrated from April 17th to the 24th in Augsburg and is organized by the Catholic Bishops' Conference together with the Evangelical Church of Germany. The theme was chosen in the light of the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic, but also of the present discussion on the legalization of euthanasia in the country following a controversial ruling last year by the Federal Constitutional Court. In February 2020, a court allowed pro-euthanasia associations that help people to commit suicide to publicize their activities, declaring a law which was approved by the German parliament in 2015 unconstitutional. As a consequence, the present law will have to be changed, and the Bundestag is expected to discuss the matter next week. The focus of the Week for Life will therefore be on assistance to the terminally ill and the dying through palliative care and pastoral support. The event will open with an ecumenical sermon in Augsburg Cathedral, which will be concelebrated by the president of the German Catholic Bishops, as well as his evangelical counterpart. Following the celebration, an online discussion about the ethical and pastoral implications of the end of life will begin, with the participation of church and civil society representatives. We want to promote palliative and hospice support, as well as the global culture of life in our society in a more coherent way, say the bishops. The Ecumenical Week for Life was first launched in 1994 to raise awareness in the church and larger society on the dignity of every human life, from conception to natural death. I'm Devin Watkins.
And that's all the time we have for this edition of Vatican and World News. In the Vatican, I'm Christopher Wells.